Welcome to the Typical Life Coach Podcast. John Strasser here, your host and founder of the Insight Coaching Community, as well as creator of the Insight Coaching Guiding Principles and category of Insight Coach. Grateful to be here. Grateful to be here with my beautiful wife, Natalie Strasser. Natalie, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm very pregnant and tired.
Wow.
Which is all the time.
Yeah, it is, especially at this time of day. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah.
We weren't here last week because my grandmother passed away.
I know.
Yeah. And she passed away. You know, I was thinking about this morning, and she was 84. She had late stage Alzheimer's. She then got a stroke. So we welcomed, and I know she welcomed, moving on to the next phase of her existence. She actually passed away on the same day that O.J. Simpson passed away. And I just think
that was pretty cool.
Because she would have thought it was cool.
Yeah.
She really would. Barbara was quirky and liberal and cool and radical, and she was a rebel, and she didn't live her life in the way that society said she had to live her life. And I certainly honor that. She was a great inspiration for me. In fact, I mean, she left her longtime career as a school teacher that she no longer liked, she hated, to pursue her own business, which was massage therapy. She went to massage therapy school. This was when she was in her 50s. I mean, she built an entirely new life and her own business, and she made it a successful business big time. Because as a massage therapist, she didn't wait for people to call. Did I ever tell you this? How she would, in public, she would literally go around and just start massaging people. She would walk up behind strangers and just start massaging their shoulders. You would have loved it.
I would love that if somebody came.
Yeah.
It was a woman.
And she was good at it. Imagine, like, she was a beast at massage therapy.
Yeah.
Like, she did.
She was a big
lady. She made a lot of,
like,
not tall.
Not big, but tall.
Oh, yeah. She was 6 foot, 6 foot 1. Yeah. Tall and strong and in massage therapy shape. And she did a lot of massages. I mean, I'm sure she made well over $100,000 a year, like, working her schedule and all the money being a profit. Essentially, very similar to life coaching, as a fact. I mean, she pursued her passion, she got training, and she didn't wait around. I mean, she would visit she lived in West Palm Beach, visit some of the most exclusive Palm Beach hotels, like the Breakers, world famous resort, and get in with the concierge, and she would pay them money. She would tip them if they would send her people who she could charge, you know, instead of $75 an hour, you know, this was some years back, $150 or $200 an hour.
And she had a bed and she would bring it to
she would do it at her house a little bit in the massage room, which was this beautiful sunroom, but she mostly, she'd drive all around with her massage table.
Now, wasn't she also a nun?
Yeah. And then she wanted to pay for college and came from a family of 9 other brothers and sisters. Her mother passed away when she was, I think, 9 years old, and needed and was highly intelligent. She was in Mensa. She was a genius. And she pursued being a nun. They paid for her college. And then once she graduated, the nuns sensed that she wasn't really into it, you know? I mean, it just, like, she wasn't really into it. And they asked her to leave. They kicked her out. So that was another story.
Kicked out of
the nunnery. I think it was a nunnery at a convent.
That's amazing.
Yeah. In fact, on the Facebook post, one of them that I wrote in honor of her, a woman commented that me and the other nun, something or another. And I was like, what? There's, like, she's friends with some of the nuns. Like, I think she said, we have such fond memories of Barbara.
Wow.
And I said, I friend requested her. I said, what's your phone number? It's like Barbara's whole adult life, I've heard these stories, and then I didn't, you know, just to be able to talk to one of these nuns that would be her age.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, anyway, so much going on, but here we are. Today we're talking about, okay.
For your loss.
Yeah, you know, you were there. I mean, it was a beautiful passing. So today we're talking about the 5 stages of success in coaching, and before we jump in, actually, Natalie, I want to honor a very important coach in our Accelerate program. His name is Randy Mosier, and I want to share a comment that he posted on our Insight Coaching Community YouTube channel, one of our videos, and I'm looking up at it at the screen. He said, John and Natalie, I want to say, I love watching you. This is from last podcast. Love watching you interact in this video. You're amazing. Thanks for your thoughts here. Got to keep the right mindset. Most days I can do this. Some days, as I'm trying to gain more coaching clients, it feels exhausting. when I get to coach, it's amazing. And that was from the, what was it, 10 commitments, right? The principles that we took from the golf book and applied them to coaching, which was all about mindset, right? Golfer's mind. So anyways, just wanted to honor him.
That was the beginning of our sports podcast.
Yeah, here we go. Another one today. We're jumping in. What are we doing? Badminton today? But you know what's back? Where it is? Grab it, Natalie. Hand manicure. The manicure hand is back. Let's high five. Let's do this. So let's just dive in. There you go. You got to be watching this stuff on YouTube. That's Inside Coaching Community YouTube channel. I was going to say .com. Let's do this. So let's get in, Natalie. We're going to get into the five stages. Stage one. This is the five stages of success in coaching as we see it. Excitement. Stage one. Excitement about the possibility of pursuing coaching and diving into it, right? And when you sign up, whatever you sign up for, maybe you actually sign up for a training, you sign up for one of our trainings, you sign up for, you know, some kind of community, something that's going to start to move the ball forward in terms of building your business, you get excited, you're finally doing it. You've probably been thinking about doing it for a long time. You've probably been watching people online doing it, you know, which is pursuing their passion of coaching as well as pursuing building something outside of the job, right? The entrepreneurial path. And so with that, I want to mention and see what you think, Natalie. I've seen again and again that people love to sign up. You know, it's like, I signed up, and we've seen this again and again.
Because it feels like progress.
Oh, it feels like you've done something. It's so easy, though. And I've heard it again and again.
I'm so guilty of that.
I know. You've talked about that. Yeah. Tell me more.
I mean, my whole life, especially when I was deep in alcoholism, I signed up for this school. I signed up for makeup artist school. I'm on my way, and then it's like, nah.
And it felt good, right?
I felt good while I was doing it.
Because you were
actually time to do it.
Well, that's the thing. You got to actually. So that's why stage one, boy. Yeah. Once you're like, I'm doing it, it's like, yeah,
yeah.
And then you're gonna. One of the stages is gonna be you got to do it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what do you think makes aspiring coaches most excited about pursuing coaching?
Yeah, that's great. This is great. This is what we'll do. You ask me questions through the five stages, and this will always be an example of, you know, how in the presence of the question, the mind thinks more deeply. Most excited, aspiring coaches, what are they most excited for?
When they're pursuing coaching.
You know, this is just what I think. I don't know, of course, obviously, it's just what I think most people are most excited about. They might not know this, though. I just think deep inside of us is such an innate, it's a tremendous innate yearning to be doing not what we're supposed to be doing, you know, kind of quote, supposed to be societal expectations. And when we get committed to pursuing coaching or any kind of entrepreneurial path that's going to take us outside of the norm, I just think there's so much excitement. And then usually there's an equal amount of fear. And we always say that's a great place to be, right? When you're equally excited as you are scared, you're in the right place. Yeah. And the fear is usually of the unknown, but of course, everybody knows everything. And the reality is they know what's coming. And what's coming is they're going to have to change and they're going to have to lean into what they've been resisting. I mean, we already know what we got to do, but they want to be taught what they have to do. They want to be reaffirmed. You know, what do you say? What's your great quote around advice?
Advice is what you ask for when you already know the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Just want somebody to justify or support or
reaffirm it. Yeah, yeah. Tell you what you already know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's
even if
good.
It's not what you want to hear.
Yeah, and that often is the case. So stage one, excitement, right? Yeah, I'm excited. Stage two is pretty simple. It's what we're starting to get into. It's seeing it's not as easy as you hoped. And that's a good thing, right? I'll always be talking about this, that we have to be shifting our mindset, which says, I need things to be easy. I need things to be simple. I want things to be smooth. Smooth doesn't work. I mean, you and I in our relationship, sometimes it can be very rocky, very challenging. I mean, how much are we, you and I, forced to grow because we're both not just, you know, in the easiest, never have any problems relationship?
All the time.
Yeah. You're forced to grow.
Yeah. It's the only thing in my life I feel like right now that is truly changing me and forcing me to look at myself and look at my habits and look at my reactions and grow and do the work. I feel like everything else in my life, I've already done that work. Okay. And it's kind of fallen into place.
Yeah.
But with us, it's because we're both also growing and changing as people on our own.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. 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 It's, again, it's just a mind shift thing. It's a mind shift in that as a aspiring coach, as a personal development professional, you have to see the reality, which is hard is good. You know, failing, fear, leaning into all that, challenge. It's just a good thing because that's what levels you up. Nobody ever got to the highest point of success, or whatever that looks like for each individual, without a lot of challenges. I mean, look at like Elon Musk. You know, he's a guy we've looked at before and studied his journey, and whether or not you agree with him politically and all this other stuff doesn't matter. But as far as like his impact on the world, rockets, you know, I think his first three or four rockets worth like in the billions or hundreds of millions of dollars, they all just took off and exploded. And he was at a point where like the world in terms of that kind of rocket science and all that was like, oh man, this guy's, it's never going to work for him, you know, and he made it work. Or the electric car, you know, years ago, I saw a documentary called, I think it was something like What Killed the Electric Car. And it was just all about how the major automobile companies, their electric car idea could have been here, you know, 30 years ago.
Right.
And they just killed it, you know, because the last thing they want is like anything and anybody connected with oil and gas and
right.
stuff. And this
fossil fuel
industry. He changed the world. I mean, yeah. All these major companies are coming out with electric cars. One of the companies, I want to say Cadillac, said that by 2028, they're not going to have any more gas cars.
Cadillac
so,
like, itself?
I think so.
Or everybody.
No, Cadillac. One of the, or I could be totally wrong. So listen, do not come to this podcast looking for facts outside of coaching. That's for sure. Right. I might have dreamed that, but I think I read that. That just came to mind. Yeah. Okay. That's kind of funny. Yeah. So anyway, stage two, seeing that, hey, it's not as easy as you thought it might be.
Right.
Cause it looks easy, especially when you see the algorithm and see the ads. I want to remind everybody, nobody's coming to, you know, the idea that I'm going to be able to build a business and set up my social media. By the way, this is what the business coaches are selling. And, you know, I can't stand the business coaches as far as these coaches who are selling their business services to coaches and the services setting up, helping them set up their social media, their website, their three testimonials, you know, getting all that in place so that they can start having their ideal or dream clients coming in 10 to 15 grand a month. And these coaches are charging 10, 15 grand. We've had so many aspiring coaches and coaches come in to accelerate having paid somebody that kind of money and it didn't work. It will never work. There is no path of simply setting up social media and a website and starting to post and market coaching and then people are interested in signing up and paying large amounts of money. Like, are you going to sign up for somebody with their signature package that's going to give you this, this, and this for like $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, and you don't even know the person?
Absolutely.
There's
not.
No way. It just never Absolutely happens. Not. It never happens.
And also, you know, you constantly say you cannot get something for nothing.
Yeah.
That's you it. Have to put in the work. So let me ask you this.
You're going to have to suffer.
So what do you think, John, is the most challenging thing for coaches early on?
I love this. Well, they're just, I would say, okay, here it is. I mean, for the most part, totally unorganized and shiny objects, social media, the phone, you know, just constant distraction, right? So let's say early on, aspiring coach moves on from corporate career, finally, you know, probably made a mistake and waited until they're totally done with work before they dive in because they've got this they're unaware, but they've got this all or nothing perfectionist thinking that says, like, once I'm totally done with this, then I will be completely into this. So anyways, they dive in, they've now got the time, their days are free, and they aren't organized, they aren't looking at it like a business, they don't know how to look at it like a business, they have no systems in place, they are constantly sort of, you know, on their phone, they've got notifications on for all the apps, so all day they're just kind of wasting time and not really getting anything done. This is part of why in our community, in our Next Level programs, in the Genesis program, we teach coaches how to build or create manuals, which is a step-by-step system. It's your document that outlines exactly what you do every day from when you log in at 7 a.m. or 9 a.m. until you log out at 2. And it gives coaches something that they know they can do, and it keeps them focused and undistracted. Yeah, I mean, it's just distraction. So it's lack of discipline. Most of them don't know it, but they do. Yeah. You know, I mean, the larger awareness is like everybody really does know what's going on. They're just not consciously aware, but inside they are. That's why they get nervous and stuff. There's so much fear that comes up. Most of the fear that comes up in for coaches isn't the thing. It's deep down inside, they've got tremendous fear that they're not going to be able to do what they said they're going to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the most detrimental thing, maybe the answer to the question, most challenging thing for coaches early on is that they say they're going to do something and they don't. And I mean, I do it all the time. You know, I'm much better than, you know, I used to be, and I'm better than the average person for sure.
And distraction feels good. It literally releases dopamine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For like, even for just, oh, I have so much to do in the house today. There's so much laundry. There's so much cleaning to do. I'm just going to sit and scroll for a little bit longer. Yeah. And it feels good in that moment when in reality, the postponing of what needs to be done creates more fear and more overwhelm in the end.
Yeah.
But it feels good in that moment. Like physically, scientifically, it feels really good to be distracted and to do what you're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah, because our body is literally craving. It's like,
it's an addiction.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. Give me more of that. It's great. It's craving the dopamine. It's also, though, it's conditioned to live in the land of like someday, and I'm kind of doing it. You know, it's like there's so much going on in that sense in our body. It's not just a mindset thing. I mean, last episode it was all about mindset, and in addition to mindset there's chemicals, there's the brain body connection. There's so much going on. In fact, that's it. I've seen it again and again where it's more than just a mental thing. And like, we think we're going to need to get disciplined and be like, I'm disciplined and now I'm going to overcome it. We need to slowly recondition our whole being. And what I'm talking about is to a different way of showing up. You know, I mean, it's, what time is it? 8:45 in the morning, Natalie. I have not once checked my email, even checked my text messages, nothing. Now that's a newer commitment to me. I'm going to win. I told you, how often do I say I'm going to win?
Every day.
Every day. I will win the game. And the game is that. Mm-hmm. The game is, can I not check anything until 9 a.m. each day and use these early morning hours, you know, especially much earlier than right now.
Be distraction free.
Totally focused. Yeah. And then at 9, and my body, I was going to say at 9, let me check my email. We've got, you know, Aubrey clocks in, team members start working, doing stuff. But until that point, it's like, can I stay totally focused? But I'll tell you, my body is craving it. Mm-hmm. I feel it in my body.
Yeah.
My body's like, just.
And then when you get to check your emails, you get this like relief.
It's like, oh, it's dopamine.
It's dopamine.
It's dopamine. Yeah. But I'm going to get to check email, Facebook. I got multiple emails. I mean, I got like, mm-hmm. Oh boy, it's going to be wonderful. Can you imagine? It's going to be great.
Well, and it's like, you know, I think we've mentioned this multiple times before, but Joe Dispenza says the key to change is by not doing the same thing that you did yesterday. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah. He says the hardest part about change is not doing the thing you did the day before. That's all it is. It's just, it's slow reconditioning of who we are and how we show up, who we're being. You know, am I constantly checking my phone? Do I have notifications? What's happening at a deeper level? That let's stop on that one though. Hey, you know, for all new listeners, I want to jump in for a second. If you want to understand our perspective on coaching as well as how we make money without social media, right? It's creating relationships and referrals rather than content. Then check out episode 27. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll have to log into our website, insidecoachacademy.com. Go back to episode 27. That's an audio episode, or you find it on all the major podcast platforms. It's called Start Here. Mm-hmm. Episode 27, Start Here. It's a good one. It's just a recap for people. Our man, Coach Greg Metz said, hey, John, this was way back more than a year ago. Why don't you put together an episode for people who are new to this stuff and they know where to go? So I said, all right, let's do it. So stage three is questioning the journey, right? Like, this is for me. Is this for me? You know, kind of go from this is for me. This is for me. I'm doing this to like, is this for me? Can I make this work?
I really do this?
And it's a stage of you either give up or you stay committed. And part of that, that's why, well, let me say this. You know, I would say three most important things, right, in being successful is one, getting committed. Just get committed. I'm going to do this no matter what. My thing is I'm going to make this a success no matter what. Did I tell you this? That recently I realized, okay, I'm 48 years old. I'll work till I'm 78 doing this. So I got 30 years. Mm-hmm. Did I tell you that? I kind of looked at it like I was like, I have 30 years. Like, I have so much time.
No. You've mentioned it before, but not...
More recently. Because I was trying to make things happen a little bit too fast. And I had this insight where I said, okay, well, how long am I going to work? I'm 48. I'll do this work for 78 until I'm 78. So I have 30 more years. I'm in my 10th year. The first 5 years was pretty much a mess. The last 5 years has been much better, but it's starting to really flow these days. So in looking at it, like I've got 30 more years, it just takes the pressure off.
Right.
That's all. It takes the pressure off and it
can slow down.
Yeah. And slowing down is how you speed up, but it's an illusion because we think the faster we go, the further we go. Really, the faster we go, the longer it takes. That's usually how it is. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because this is a spiritual world that we're operating in, a spiritual paradigm where things tend to be opposite of the rational world. In the rational world, the faster you go, the faster you get there. You know, in the spiritual world, the faster you go, usually the more mess you make.
Yeah.
And the more challenging it is. And why are you even doing this anyways? Why are you pursuing coaching? Because you want to live a life of meaning, but you make the journey really hard and it really sucks. And you think that when you finally make 10 grand a month, then you're there. When you've seen me go from 5 grand a month to 10 grand a month to a lot more than that. Have you ever seen me like get to this place of pure ecstasy and joy where it's all good?
No.
Okay. Yeah. You're like, how do I answer? Maybe, just answer truthfully. Yeah. Not, it doesn't last long.
Like, it's happening. It's working.
Yeah.
And it goes back.
It's like crazy. This. You have to be a spiritual guru in this business in order to find meaning in this and have fun. Yeah. No.
And you understand that just because you made it this month doesn't mean you're going to make it next month.
Well, there you go. So that's you have to get committed. Then you have to stay consistent.
Yeah.
Right. And then you have to get training. You know, you just need to be getting better all the time. So those are the three aspects. And Yeah.
So, okay, let me ask you this. What is the best thing that an aspiring coach can do when they're starting to question their journey?
Yeah. I mean, it's your mind is a dangerous neighborhood. Never go there alone. You just because you question it doesn't mean it's true. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. Just because you think something doesn't mean you have to believe it. I mean, who cares? And in fact, one of the things that shows up for coaches is like signs. Like coaches will get into this phase of like, I don't know if this is like for me now. Even though I've gotten committed, I've gotten training, I'm doing all these things, and then a sign will appear. A sign, you know, there's some synchronous thing that happens, serendipitous event. And they're like, it is meant to be. Or they're like, it's not meant to be, you know, nothing's working. So, you know, because we tend to be very spiritual and we look deep in things for meaning. And
I just look outside yourself too, whether it's from other people or a sign or
omen
or.
And you find the answer that you're looking for. So if you're at this middle stage where you're starting to become uncommitted and question if this is for you, and then deep down inside you're like, I can't do this, then suddenly you find some sign or something.
I feel like once that enters your consciousness too, that feeling
of,
I don't think this is for me, I can't do this, it's so easy to let that kind of grow.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's just so much easier to be like, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
And in reality, you really want to do it and you're really good at it and you have to do the work and it's hard and you have to get through that. And it's so hard.
Yeah. It's so hard in the mind because it's just a mental battle basically. And you've got to find a way to get stronger. I mean, just don't believe it. Just because I start to question if this is for me, and it's happened to me countless times.
It still happens.
It still happens. I mean, you see, there's this other thing that looks a lot easier.
It's a car wash. That looks really
good. I love car washes. You know, I would probably develop a car wash and then be like, why did I do a car wash? Car wash is so stupid. You know, that's what happens.
I know. It's a shiny out. It's like, oh, that looks easy. And I can leave work.
Brave, easy. Yeah. Yeah. They're so, because. But then there's not a lot of meaning to it. So to the extent that this is really meaningful and valuable, is it challenging? And are you in your head? And you've got to become, you know, a samurai master. You got to be a spiritual master, just slashing away at all the crazy thoughts. So stage three, questioning the journey. Cool. I can question all I want. Of course, I'm going to question it. Everyone questions things.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't have to do it. The opposite, though, is going and getting the job where you're stuck. And then you're like, why did I do this? And we just see countless people every day.
And what I remember, I took, I trained in meditation with Emily Fletcher in New York City. And I remember specifically she said, when that happens, when those doubts creep into your mind, it's the universe saying to you, are you sure you want to do this? Not to sway you from doing it, to keep you from doing it, but because it's that tipping point of, am I going to move forward with this?
Yeah.
And then once you decide, yes, I'm going to move forward with this, then the universe conspires to support you in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it happens to everybody on every journey.
Well, with that, this is good you're bringing that up. That would fall in the category for me of we develop these conditions that have to be met first. So with that one, I have to be sure that I want to do this. And I always ask people when they have those kind of conditions that they're trying to meet, how sure do you have to be? Mm. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is 100% absolute sure. Are you a 10? Do you need to be a 10? Do you need to be a 9? Like, it's this ambiguous, like arbitrary number. Like, yeah.
Feel the fear and do it anyway.
I don't have to be sure that I want to do this or that I can do this. These are a lot of things that show up for coaches. Yeah, I can just do that. Yeah. I can do this and just stay committed to this and I can make this a success. I'm here to say that if you commit to making this a success, I am an example, and you just stay at it, man. You stay at it, you will make it a success. For some, it takes a few months. That's pretty rare. For some, it takes a few years. That's more normal. And then in 10 years and in 15 years, we're going to make millions and millions of dollars. You like when I say that, right? We are going to make millions of dollars and we're getting there. And it's exponential.
Yeah.
It's not the business is exponential in terms of your income and what you start to create. It's your mindset and your way of being. Me, mm-hmm. I'm exponentially getting better. I have gotten through so much fear in the last year. I've gotten through more fear in the last year than I did like in the previous 3 years combined or something, you know? And it's the fear that's in the way.
Right. Yeah. And it's not even about making the money for you. I don't
know. No, it's not.
You really love what you do and you're really passionate about dismantling the crap that's out there about starting a coaching business. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't, I mean.
And you're here to upend it.
Because it's every day we're inundated with all these people who are interested in our Accelerate program coming into it and stuff. And they don't know, but they think that if and when they have the certification, once they have it, they're good to go. They just, the whole, almost the entire aspiring coaching industry, mm-hmm. this is coaches early on, think that once they have the certification, mm-hmm. you know, and some training and then the website and all the different things, it's, they're good. They're fine. And they're going to make 10,000 or more a month. It's not that way at all.
Yeah.
You have to be excellent at coaching. None of the other stuff matters. Certification, we sell certifications, right? Certifications don't matter. I will never, I mean, I've seen it again and again. People who are the most certified people in the world, not making money at all, no impact, never, rarely coach, and non-certified, just unbelievable masters of getting it done, mm-hmm. right? Who go out there and just coach. And they're amazing at coaching. If you sit with them, Natalie, they will dazzle you. Mm-hmm. And you will be like, John, well, listen, honey, we need to get some money to pay this person because that was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You haven't really had that experience before.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah. You will. Let's keep moving.
Okay.
Stage four, staying committed. That you get through all that crap and then you see what's true, which is the level of difficulty. And listen to this, Natalie. The level of difficulty is inversely proportional to how quickly you learn. The faster you learn, or in this case, the faster you change, the easier the process. That's all it is. How quickly can you change, right?
Right.
So what are some examples of coaches needing to change? An example that comes to mind right away is stop being a fortune teller and deciding that you know for sure that someone else isn't interested in coaching or does not have the money for coaching or would be offended if you were to reach out and say to them, hey, I'm pursuing my passion of coaching. Do you know anybody who might be interested in having a session with me? I would love to offer them one as a gift. It's like, well, I could only say that to this person because I know for sure these people would be offended and over here they would be up in a roar and I don't want them to think that I'm, you know, trying to get them. And over here, this group of people, what if they find out I'm pursuing my passion and then I don't make it? What are they going to think and all this stuff? It's like, man, like you gotta change.
Yeah.
You can't be that person. You can't be the no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I have nothing to say.
I love that. Cool, man.
I'm just waiting for you to keep talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think, well, we kind of said a lot of it already, you know? I mean, yeah.
It all kind of, well, because it all kind of blends together. It's all, so what is the most difficult experience that you faced when you were building your business and how did you get through it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've had some really, really having to file for bankruptcy early on after a couple, 2-3 years. That was really difficult. I mean, horribly difficult. But that had a little more to do with me personally and just feeling like I had gotten sober and gotten my education and I had nothing but success. And then this thing was so far from success, it was unbelievable. And I felt like a hypocrite. And I was a hypocrite. I mean, I was an abundance mindset coach filing for bankruptcy.
I love that behind this story.
Yeah. I mean,
you were an abundance mindset
coach. I proved that what I taught, and I was a teacher, you know, I wasn't a coach, but I didn't know that. I was a teacher. Mm-hmm. Anyways, but I think the hardest thing really was later, and I've talked to you extensively about this, where I made some mistakes. I acted in ways that were somewhat unethical early on before I had real training and real understanding of what this business was. And I made some clients real angry who just, wanted to make me pay and put me out of business and just, you know, the unknowing, you know, when you have people in the world who are in the online space who are angry and out to get you, man, it's a scary, scary place to be. it's just the unknown. So that was a period that I got through. And what got me through it is what gets me through all of it. And that's commitment. You know, just this is all there is. I'm never going to do anything else. I mean, we might venture off at some point in our life and try some different entrepreneurial paths for fun. But I mean, this is the thing to win. I mean, this is a sport for me. I keep thinking more and more about sports, especially as Savannah starting to play sports and I'm with her all the time in terms of sports. It's like, it's a boxing match and it's the 15th round and I've made it this far without getting knocked out. Like I'm going to knock the guy out and win the thing. I'm going to win this thing.
I love that.
We're going to win. Yeah. So it's just that commitment. And then.
And he literally does say that out loud multiple times a day.
We're going
to
win.
I'll be drinking my coffee and he'll come up to me and go, Natalie, I'm going to win.
Because I'm pissed off. I mean, I'm like, because yeah. It's almost always nothing outside of me. That's what you would think at a more of a service level. You know, it's the condition. It's this thing. Oh, this is this thing and these people and this system and whatever. It's not. It's me. It's always me. Yeah. Yeah. And then now, you know, there's more on the line. I mean, I focus, our daughter's pictures are right here on my desk and I look at her looking at me and there's just so much responsibility in that. And I want to create an incredible life where, we can, you know, financially we never have to worry and we're set, but not in a way where it messes the kids up, you know, and
right.
Like, yeah, but, and just time. This next year and moving forward, it's going to be a lot more about time and not wasting any time. So when I'm working, I am as focused as you could possibly be. And then at, you know, 2:30 or so in the afternoon, I'm working from 5 to 2:30. I'm done. I'm absolutely done. And that's 4 or 5 days a week. And besides that, then with time, I'm with you. I'm with our kids. We got a kid coming. So yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. So stage 5, let's knock this thing out.
Stage 5.
It's obvious we're there staying committed and making a success. And, and you know, one thing I always like to mention is when you think about it, the question, who is the best coach to help other people, help clients get through their own challenges? It's the one that did it themselves. Mm-hmm. That's a good. So circling back to the beginning, it being challenging, it being hard, all these kinds of things. That's such a good thing because you come out and you are a changed person. You are a triumphant person and you have, yeah, you've changed yourself and your experience in life has then changed. So I think that's it on that one.
What is one truth that you can share with an aspiring coach about success in this business?
Yeah, the here it is. Beautiful, because it just comes to mind, right? There's no preparation on this. Let the success be in the system rather than the outcome, because if the success is contingent on the outcome, meaning when you make a certain amount of money, have a certain number of clients, get to a certain kind of place, then it fades very quickly. It's just like the, you know, NBA basketball team and they've won the championship and then they interview the star player and he's like, you know, they say, what are you thinking now? And he says, next year. Like he's like already, he not even for 1 second could he enjoy it. That's just how life is. And that's how this business is and people who pursue this business. So you can't make success folk contingent on the outcome. You got to make it on the system so that you can enjoy each day. So for example, today, getting this done at this time and look how close I am now, baby. I'm about to be able to check my email. I'm going to check my Facebook. I'm going to maybe slide over to see what's going on YouTube real quick. I mean, let's just imagine I've been up for hours.
Chomping at the right? bit.
And then, so anyways, making a joke, but just if you can make your success in your system that each day, today, can I not allow my mind to convince me of something that's not true and suffer as a result? Can I stay away from the distractions? Can I get stuff done and know that each day's worth of progress is moving me forward and really relish in that? Then I win. Then I'm successful. And that's what it is for these coaches. You know, for the coach early on, the success is, I reached out to 3 people today and let them know, hey, friend, it's been a while. I'm pursuing my passion of coaching. So if you ever know anybody and it's like, oh, that was scary, but I did it, or I was at the store and a lady started talking to me and I was much more open and curious with her. And then she asked me what I did and I was nervous, but I said, I'm this and this, but I'm actually starting to pursue coaching. And she thought that was really cool and I'm feeling good. Like, let that be what you do. I mean, that's all this is, man. It's just daily progress.